Boys, behave yourselves and be good. You're in the house of the Lord. Acts chapter 3, I want to recap a little bit what we talked about last week. I know 7 days, a lot gets gone in 7 days for us. We finished off chapter 2 last week talking about the upper room experience, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, how Peter came out and preached that incredible message of Jesus as now Lord in Christ. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus. You shall, for the remission of sins, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. We talked about that last week, how the Spirit of God fell, how it changed hearts, how 3,000 were added to the church at one time. So now we pick up in chapter 3. Peter and John, this talks about Peter and John and what they're about to do. And my title of my message tonight is Ready to Serve with a question mark. I'm asking that question, are you ready to serve? We think serving is something magnificent that has to be in the limelight or on a big stage. Serving comes in many capacities. We had a funeral service here Monday, and I was so grateful for Jamie and Nikki's help and for Roger's help in the cemetery and for Brandon's help doing the sound. All those folks made things happen in a very efficient way Monday. Brandon did the music for me and Bill's. We brought forth the word and the service. Nikki and Jamie set up some made coffee, set up drinks, and had the donuts ready for the family and stayed back there and greeted them and made sure things were right, even cleaned up without being told, which I appreciate that. People don't always clean up, believe me. So thank you for that. Roger at the cemetery making sure the grave was properly covered back up, everything was right before the gravedigger left. All of that is serving. And so what I want to talk about tonight, we'll see Peter and John had an opportunity to do something with this Holy Ghost. They had been empowered, as we know, in the upper room with the supernatural filling of God's Spirit. And this was, as I said many times, this Holy Ghost is not for a charismatic show, though sometimes it comes out that way. But the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit's purpose is to empower us to carry out the work of God in the earth. And Peter and John had been baptized with the Holy Ghost. They had been empowered. And now there's an opportunity knocking at their door here in Acts chapter 3 of what are they going to do. As we read this, I want you to think about your own life. How many opportunities do we have all around us to serve in a capacity to point people to our Savior? I think many times, and I know sometimes I recap some of the stories of old, but I think it's important that we hear these over and over. I think about when Joe Brown was in Best Buy in Mooresville years and years ago, and this young man named David Messick was in there shopping. Joe did not know who he was. He reached out, and you got to realize Joe's an old staunch Ohio Baptist boy, okay? He's old school. He's a steel mill worker. He's blue collar, hard hat and hammer. I mean, that's who he is. He's from the old school, the old generation. Here's David Messick, this young 22-year-old at the time, younger than that probably, 21. And here he sees this guy, and he's got some tattoos on him, he's got some earrings in, and Joe reaches out to this young man, starts talking to him, asking questions, they start a conversation, and they just moved here from, I guess, Kansas. He says, have you got a church? No, we ain't got a church. We need a church. Joe invited him to our church, and him and his wife came faithfully for several years until they moved back to Kansas. Joe plugged this young couple into a church and reached out. Tori sung with the worship team for all that time, and they were a big part of our church. I remember the last Sunday they were here, we cried in the parking lot hugging them goodbye as they went back to Kansas. It was horrible. And because of Joe saying, you know what, I see an opportunity in front of me. Here's a young man, I'm going to talk to him. As we get talking, the Lord opened the conversation up and got them plugged into a church where they grew. Now they have 4 kids. Something in the water in Kansas. They got 4 kids. but Joe served. We serve in different ways. But the thing about serving is we got to be willing to serve, and we got to hear God's voice on how to serve. So let's pick up in chapter 3. This is a very exciting chapter of seeing the Holy Ghost at work. They had just preached a great message, and people got and gave their heart to Jesus, and now they're outside the four walls of the upper room. Verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, being the 9th hour. Now, understand this. We're in a Bible Belt. We believe we go to church on Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday nights, a lot of churches we did for years, revivals, camp meetings, all that good stuff. Back in the days of Jesus, it was customary that they go to the temple 3 times a day. three times a day, every day. They had a morning sacrifice, an afternoon sacrifice, and a sunset sacrifice. And so they were on their way at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to go to the temple, offer their sacrifice, and pray to God. So they're minding their own business, going to church. But look what God puts in front of them. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. I'm going to break this down so we understand the concept of what's happening. This man was crippled, and the next chapter reveals he was over 40 years old. So he'd been crippled his whole life. And they had to actually carry him. Someone would carry him and place him on the steps and the entrance of the temple. The reason for that, it was a great location. You know what they say, location, location, location? Where's our location at here in Statesville for beggars? Walmart. Location, location, location. They put him at the temple because the Pharisees and the Jewish people were very known for their giving, their hospitality. And so what better place to get a dime or a dinero or a dollar from someone than a Jew or a Pharisee, you know, going to the temple? So it was a strategic location for this beggar to be there. They had to carry him. He had never walked. He didn't know what walking was, running, jumping. From birth, he had been paralyzed and crippled. Now, they put him at the gate called Beautiful. And I did a little study on the gate called Beautiful. And this was a gate that was is called the Corinthian, that's why I should have wrote it down, Corinthian bronze, I think is what it's called. Somebody can correct me if they find that out. I think it's Corinthian bronze gate. But what it was, this gate was so immaculate compared to the other gates. It was so much money, the way it was constructed and built, what was laid over with, was so valuable. And if you do some study, and this gate was so massive, it took 20 men to open and close this gate. So he was at this gate of Beautiful, begging of alms, wanting someone to give him something, and here come Peter and John in verse 3. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go to the temple, asked of an alms. He asked, can you help a brother out? And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he, the beggar, gave heed to them, expecting to receive something out of them. I think most beggars would. You go to Walmart, one of them guys say, hey, look at me. Psych. Not just kidding. They had something to give them, but it wasn't money. Look what Peter says. He's using the gift of the Holy Ghost that he had received. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you. How could he give him this gift? Because he had this gift. You can't give someone something unless you have it to give. And he had this gift of the Holy Spirit that he had received just earlier in the upper room. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This term, in the name of Jesus, is used in the book of Acts 33 times. And in this culture of the Jewish, Arabic, Hebrew culture, a name was more than just an identity of who you were. A name was what you were. It represented the power of who you was. And so that's why he invokes the name of Jesus. I'm not invoking Mary and Joseph's son. I am invoking the Son of God. I'm invoking who he is. I'm invoking the resurrection, the way, the truth, and the life. All that Jesus is, all the power that he is, that's who I'm praying in that name. And he looked at him, rise up and walk. Now, what caused this? I mean, wouldn't we love to go to folks and just say, hey, rise up and walk? They were inspired. They were dealt with. They were unctioned by the Holy Spirit. This wasn't a magic show. This wasn't a, hey, John, let's see if we can use this Holy Ghost to make this man walk. As they walked by, God spoke to them and had a work for them. And with boldness, Peter looked at him and said, rise up and walk. What a command that was to a man who couldn't walk. This tells us this, that we know with Christ all things are possible. And it tells me this, how many opportunities are we missing because we're afraid to stop and tell someone, and I'm talking either physically or symbolically, but we're afraid to use the power of the Holy Ghost to look at someone's life and say, rise up and walk. We're afraid of what they might think or what they might say. We're afraid of the rejection or the failure on God's part. But if we would listen to the Holy Spirit, obey the Holy Spirit, and when we see a situation and God speaks to that, He's not going to speak unless He's going to answer. Do you hear me? He's not going to say something unless He's going to do something. So it's important we listen to that. And when those opportunities are there, we have the boldness to declare, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Let your fear dissipate. Let your joy come. Let your sorrow go away. Let your healing come forth in the name of the one that rose from the dead, in the name of the one that is no longer there, by the name of the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there's no authority greater than His. It's by that name that I invoke an answer to come to pass, because that's who He is. We don't pray in any other name. We don't believe in any other name. We don't confess by any other name, but by the one that broke the back of death, hell, and the grave forevermore. Peter had boldness, but it wasn't him that did it. And that's why we have to be very sensitive to allow the Holy Ghost inside of us to work. Because, man, I know it's hard in this generation, because people will reject you and they'll look at you weird, and then you think your mind starts playing games. What if I miss the mark, God? What if that ain't you talking? You know, what if I'm just really on a Sunday or Wednesday high and I'm on the hangover and it's not really you, God? Listen, be sensitive to hear when God speaks, and then respond to what He's speaking for you to do. Opportunities are everywhere. You serve tables right at a restaurant. You've got opportunities every shift you're on. You're dealing with people, and you have opportunities to see the needs of you see their expressions. You may overhear conversations. There's things that you see and feel, and you never know who God may send you to serve. You never know. But opportunities are there. And every opportunity that's there, we ought to be willing to seize, because Christ sure did, and the apostles sure did. They died because of it. They paid the ultimate price. So He spoke to them. See what happens. He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And I don't want you to visualize, this is a real event that took place. This is not a parable. It's not symbolic. This is a real man that really got healed. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Can you imagine, for the first time, being able to walk? Can you imagine the excitement of this man as he leaped up? And as he began to dance and run and shout and praise God, look what God has done. Look what the Lord has done. This was not man's touch. Man cannot heal, but God can. We are the vehicle that God uses to bring hope and peace and healing to other lives. We're just a vehicle. That's all we are. But God does use the vehicle to bring that to pass. He used our mouth to speak, our hands to touch, our ears to listen, our heart to love, our feet to go. God uses all of those things. Just as that song says, if we are the body, why aren't our hands healing? Why aren't our feet going? Why are we not doing anything? We are called to serve. And maybe none of us will ever cause a crippled man to walk, but we can cause a lot of crippled lives to resurrect. We can all do that. We can cause that. If we're intuitive with the Spirit and we're letting the Spirit inside of us come alive and we're not suppressing it, we're not letting fear push it down, we're not letting doubt push it down, we're not letting reservations push it down, but we're saying, God, everywhere I go, let your Holy Spirit be the top layer of my life, that whenever an opportunity is there, that's what comes out. Let it not be me that speaketh, but you. Let it be me that you that listens and not me. Let it be you that touches God and not me. And be sensitive to that. Here's a man that had never walked. Now he was leaping and praising God, and everybody saw it and knew who he was and how he had been changed. As the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. And here he begins to preach again. Ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why do you look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. Now he's going back to try to touch a nerve to what they believe. They believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And our fathers, which glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to be let go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. That would make Fox News talking points, wouldn't it? I mean, think about that. Okay, I mean, he's reminding them, you were the ones that crucified this Jesus, and the one that you helped crucify is the one that healed this lame man, this just holy one, that you would rather have a murderer released to you than Jesus, who had done no wrong. But see, this was, as we read, this was all part of God's plan. He didn't have to, but it's part of God's plan for Christ to be crucified. And these people played a role in that, but they played a role kind of divinely, a divine role in a sense, because this was the plan of God. But he's reminding them, this is the Jesus, the just one, you crucified. He's the one that healed this man. Look at verse 15, he keeps on going. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, wherefore we are witnesses. We talked about that a little bit last Wednesday about how powerful a witness is, didn't we? When you're a witness to something. See, Gail Finch is our most seasoned parishioner here tonight. We'll put it that way. Our most seasoned parishioner. And Gail has been a witness to many things in his journey. He has seen God move. He has seen God heal. He was there when peace came like a river. He was there when healing came out of nowhere. He was there in those moments. When you witness something, it sticks with you. It doesn't matter what somebody else told you. If you saw it, I'm going to tell you something. We hear UFO stories all the time, right? Bigfoot, UFO, all that. Now, I've never saw a real UFO, or I've never saw a real Bigfoot. I hear my Bigfoot daughter upstairs every night, but I had never seen a Bigfoot. Man, she's heavy-footed. But you know what? If I went in those church woods tomorrow and I physically saw a Bigfoot, Bill's looking. If I really saw a Bigfoot and I was in the woods back here and this big old 8-foot woolly Chewbacca-looking thing come out of the woods and I saw it, I wouldn't care what none of y'all said. I was there. I was sober and I was clean. I wasn't high. I wasn't drunk. I wasn't stoned. I wasn't on no pain pills. I'm out there sober-minded, drinking a bottle of water, and I see Bigfoot come to me, and I saw Bigfoot, and I shook his hand. There ain't no matter what any, Shirley may say, Pastor, you have lost your mind. I was there in the woods. I saw Bigfoot walk. I heard Bigfoot talk. I touched Bigfoot's hand. This is what Peter is saying. I walked with Jesus Christ. I saw him dead on the cross. I saw him wrapped in grave clothes. I saw the stone seal the entrance to where he was buried. And then I went back and saw the same tomb, and the stone was rolled away, and the grave clothes were laying there barren. And I saw Jesus walk out with his nail-pierced hands, and I saw the same Jesus, my friend, my Messiah, my teacher, my rabbi. I saw him walk the earth, and I talk with him. I don't care what none of y'all say, none of you Pharisees or Jews say, I was there when he died, and I was there when he rose, and I was there when he ascended, and I was there in the upper room when he came down in the form of the Holy Ghost. I was there. I'm a witness. And church, we have the most powerful testimony of all if we're a witness. I was there when he saved me. I was there when I went down the water and I came out and I felt a whole new life. I was there when God ushered his spirit into my life. I was there. Me and Melanie laid our hands on our son when years ago, as a little boy, he was burning up with fever. We laid our hands on him at night and began to pray in the Spirit, begin to let the Holy Spirit flow as we prayed. And while my hand was on his forehead, I felt the fever break. It was absolutely a miracle. It broke off of him. It broke. Another time he was having a panic attack and couldn't breathe. We didn't know what was going on, but we thought he had an asthma attack. It wasn't asthma, but he couldn't breathe. He woke up, and I think it was a night terror, and he wasn't breathing. Laid our hands on, and he's breathing, but he was like, just a rapid breath, and it was out of control. We laid our hands on him, began to pray. As we prayed, his breathing regulated. He fell asleep as our hands were on him, back into a deep sleep. I was there when God answer my prayer. I was there when God came down. I was there. I've seen my Lord in my own family and in my own life. I've been there and I've seen it. We saw a miracle in this church 2 weeks ago when Trudy came back. She didn't have to come back, but I know that God was in that and God brought her back. I know men and women helped her. I know God uses that, but it was still God and his power that resurrected her and breathed life back into her and rose her up. We were there. We are witnesses. And when you're a witness to something, you're bold with it. You declare it. You know that you know that you know. I was there. I saw it. I heard it. And nobody's going to talk me out of it. That's what Peter's saying. I was there, y'all. This Jesus whom you crucified, you let a murderer go and crucified Jesus. But we're witnesses to what he did. We're witnesses to who he is. We walked with him, talked with him, sat with him, ate with him, prayed with him. We were there in the garden when he hanged God, and we were there for the journey. It says in verse of my own. Thank you. And in his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. The faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Peter is taking no credit, right? Now let's just get real for a minute. I don't want to offend nobody. I've been through all this, so I'm with you. I'm part of this. Been through some of this. Notice Peter didn't say, "Here's some miracle water." The miracle water cured him. This miracle cloth cured him. This miracle evangelist cured him. This miracle bishop, prophet, teacher cured him. Peter deflected all glory off of himself and says, "This man's healed by the name of the one you crucified." Faith in the name of Jesus. I understand God gifts men differently. The Bible's clear on that. There are people that have gifts of healing through the Holy Spirit. But there are no healers in the flesh. Men don't heal others. God uses the vehicle of men to bring healing to others. And we've got to be very careful. We understand that healing comes directly from God. As we give it to God, we begin to see God move. I got a very minor thing I want to share where God answered a prayer for me. It's nothing major. I mean, we'd be like, really going to share this? But to us, it was a situation that, you know, we prayed about. We have some cats we keep at the house. They're all outside. They don't come in the house. We have some cats. One of our cats went missing. We love our little cats, you know. We take care of them. We like our little cat. One of them got missing. It was gone for, and they've all been, you know, new, they don't go out wandering. They've all been taken care of. And it went missing for 4 days, which is very, it never went missing before, ever. 4 days it was gone. And we thought, it's not coming back. I mean, 4 days, they don't do this. You know, did it get eaten by Cody? Did it get hit by a car? We don't know. I was in my garage when I said, "Lord," I said, you know, Melanie was really brokenhearted, and Ashley was really sad, because this is, it's kind of one of our favorite cats. It's not like your kids, you can have favorite cats. So I was in my garage, and I said, "Lord," I said, "you know, we love this cat." And I said, you can, I don't know where she's at, but you can bring this cat back. And Lord, I just pray that you bring her back home. The very next day, we're meeting out in the garage, and we look down, and here comes Sylvia walking in the garage, and she's kind of walking like this. Kind of like Bill Ford's hip surgery. I'm sorry. Walking like this. and we met us looking, we're like, oh, sick. Because we got two Catholic a little bit alike. I said, oh, that's Sylvia. And we took her to a vet because she didn't look right, and they think she's got a hip fracture. Says some kind of trauma happened. I don't know whether she got hip bump something, but had a little hip issue. But she came back. And I know it's not a major thing. We're not healing no crippled people right now. I get that. But you know what? You know what it taught me more than anything, more than even her coming back? I feel like God heard my prayer. I felt like God heard my prayer. Do y'all hear that? That by faith I said, Lord, you can bring this cat back. And the next day she comes walking right in the garage where we're standing. She came back. And I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. It taught me something. That God does hear our prayers. And if we pray by faith and give it to him, he can answer our prayers. Now, I know that's not a life-changing situation, but for me, if anything, it encouraged me and built my faith. Like, man, God, high five. Fist bump, God. You all right? I'm going to pray for some more stuff. Do what? It was significant. To us, it was important, and God honored that. And, of course, Melanie and Ashley were so happy to come out. We loved on it, and we actually gave it a can of tuna. We pulled all the cats out of the building and just fed her tuna. We're so glad. You know, kind of the prodigal son that comes home, roll the red carpet out. Here you go, Sylvie. Here's some tuna for you, girl. Verse 17, thank you. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did this, as also did your rulers. In other words, you know, you did it through ignorance because you didn't know what you were doing. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all of his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. And this is prophesied many times. We can go through the Old Testament, many scriptures, many different books where it prophesies of Jesus being crucified. Talks about how he will come. There'll be out of the seed of David. And, you know, Isaiah 53 talks about it. Zechariah talks about it. There are several scriptures that talks about how he will suffer, how he will die. And now he's saying it's been fulfilled. You know what he's saying? Okay, you old Jews, you believe in Moses, you believe in Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Isaiah. You're always reading Isaiah in church. I mean, I get sick of Isaiah. You always call Isaiah, read Isaiah. But you know what? Here's what Isaiah said. And now it's been fulfilled. So what are you so shocked by? You believe there'll be a prophecy fulfilled. You'll believe that there's a Messiah coming. Well, he's came. This is him. This is who he's talking about. And his suffering in your book of prophecies of the Old Testament have been fulfilled. Then he says in verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted. Same message he gave them out of the upper room. Same message. Repent, be baptized. He's saying it again. Repent. Turn your thinking. Turn your mind around. Turn away how you're seeing things. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That time refreshing is talking about when the millennial kingdom is established. Turn and be converted so you'll be a part of this new kingdom. You'll be a part of what God's wanting to do. You know, there's a lot of things that we repent on through our life. You know, there's things that maybe we're against something, but then something changed our mind. It's kind of like, you know, y'all know I don't like Brussels sprouts. Okay, I've not tried them since I left home. Because I don't have to no more. I left home. And you know what? You know what repentance is? That if I would eat some Brussels sprouts and chew on them things a little bit and swallow them, you know what? These ain't so bad. I changed my mind about Brussels sprouts. I used to hate Brussels sprouts. I didn't believe in Brussels sprouts. They were the devil. But you know what? I like them now, and they're good, so I'm a Brussels sprout follower. That's what Peter's saying. Be converted. You don't believe he's the Messiah. You don't believe he's God in the flesh. You don't believe he's the Redeemer. You don't believe he's the one Isaiah was talking about. You don't believe he's the one Zechariah was talking about. You don't believe that. So be converted and believe so that when the kingdom comes, he's your king also. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful he's my king. And I'm thankful that I believe. I'm thankful that I'm a witness. I'm thankful I've been converted. And there ain't no Bigfoot in the forest can take that away from me, because I have seen God, I've heard God, I've felt God, and I know God, because I'm a witness. And there's nothing greater than that. And that's what we need more of in this generation. We need people to be a witness of his holy presence and a witness of his holy power. Not just hear about it, but be a witness to it. And you, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before, going back to the old covenant, was preached unto you, and he was, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And then here I like in verse 22, he talks about Moses, because, man, they loved Moses. Now, they believed in Moses, and they loved him, they honored him. For Moses truly said to the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of those days. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Until you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Here's the beautiful part of Acts 3. The Holy Ghost is now outside the four walls. That's the whole point of this, that our servanthood far should exceed the four walls of the living word. It should be where we work, where we eat, where we shop. It should be every place that we go, because the Holy Spirit goes with us. And there are opportunities all around us where people are hurting and they're wanting just somebody to listen to them and talk to them. I was in a nursing home seeing was it Jazz or Trudy? It was Jazz, I think, last week. And I was visiting with her, and this nurse walks in. Yes, where Mindy works. So, yeah, it was Jazz, Autumn Care. I'm at Autumn Care, and this CNA walks in, and Jazz introduces me to her, says, hey, this is my pastor. He's the greatest guy in the world, you know. And I'm sitting there going, yeah. No, I'm not. I'm sitting there really embarrassed, you know. I'm like, no. And she's like, it's my pastor, da, da, da. And She said, where do you pastor at? And I said, Living Word. She says, Mindy goes to your church. I said, yeah. She's always talking about that church, and says, we're looking. And said, the last time you were here, I just felt a good spirit from you. And she's going through a thing, and she told me what she was going through, and says, you know, if you could pray for the situation. And I don't always do this, but I felt led right then. I said, well, can we pray now? And I took her hand, and we prayed right there in the room. She began to cry, and said, you don't know what that means. There was an opportunity right there, just a prayer, to show that I cared and I heard her and I feel her pain. And let's pray right now that God will move. That's not something broadcast. It's not something that's going to be on YouTube, but it's something that God put in front of me, that I had a responsibility, that I could either do something with that or I could just walk away from that. How many times do we have those opportunities right in front of us? But we allow fear. Step in. What would they think of me? Let me just tell you something. They don't think much of you now. We've learned that, right? I mean, let's be real. They're talking about you anyway. They're talking about something you're doing. So I've learned as I've gotten older, you know what? If they're going to talk about me, let them talk about me because of something I'm doing for Jesus. I would rather be on the side of air with that lunatic pray for me in Walmart. Ooh. Well, that lunatic just shot up 10 registers, and he gets more attention. I mean, that's really? I pray for someone in Walmart. Ooh, what big deal. So if they're going to talk about you, let it be something that glorifies God. Be bold. You never know. I'm telling you, you never know what can happen in a moment of opportunity. Peter and John could have walked on by when Peter got that check and been afraid to say, And just to said, you know, I'll be praying for him. John, let's pray for him, you know, tonight. Let's go to the temple and pray for him. not only did they not think about this, they could have walked by and went to the temple and prayed for him in the temple, and nothing probably would have happened. But because they stopped and prayed for him there, he got to go to the temple with them. He got to go with them to church. Think about that. And think of the testimony that was as he went around. We know, if you've lived here in Statesville most of your life, you know some of the same, I don't want to be insensitive, the bums, the beggars, whatever you want to call them. You recognize some of those people. You're like, oh, I've seen them before. They've been here for years doing that. There's a guy who came in food line on 21. I worked as a kid, and he was a drunk. He come in drunk. He always bought alcohol. He was a drunk. He rode a little moped. I seen him a few years ago. Just two, three. He's still on a moped and still a drunk. Now, if he got converted, the whole area around that food line that knows him would know that's the guy that used to come in drunk and buy him beer every time. What happened to him? Jesus happened to him. And how does Jesus happen to people? By using us. What's the point of the Holy Ghost if we're not going to use it? We receive the Holy Ghost and we don't use it. We hold on to it for an emotional outburst in worship service. Or we use it maybe to, you know, come to the altar and just pour out ourselves to God. But are we using it to impact the lives of others? Are we using it like Peter and John, or where we see a need, we stop right there? Now understand, we can't do it in our own power. I'm not saying that. We must be led by the Holy Spirit. But there's many times in our lives, I'm sure, God has spoke to us or led us to do something that we just kind of ignored. Not out of rebellion, but out of fear. God, what if that's not your voice I'm hearing? What if they don't receive me? I'm going to tell you something. If God has spoken to you, they're going to receive you. I promise you, because he prepares both sides. He prepared David Messick that day to hear Joe. What 20-year-old listens to an old man, right? You know, but he did. And look at the impact that made. It's amazing if we would just take those times to listen and use what God gave us. We now have seen Peter under the Spirit of the power of the Holy Ghost preach a sermon where 3,000 lives were so convicted by what they heard, they changed. Now we see where the Holy Ghost is being used in a way of bringing healing to a crippled man that never walked before, and we're seeing that. And not only that, understand, everybody that saw him and knew him, they're now affected by this. Because what happened to you? Jesus. Oh, okay. Jesus. You mean that Mary and Joseph's boy that got crucified? Yeah, him. You mean that man that y'all said rose from the dead when really they just hid his body somewhere, and, you know, conspiracy theory? Yeah, that one. That's the same one. So now they've all got a little seed planted that Jesus, he really may be Lord. He really may be the Messiah. He may really be the Christ. He may really be the one to save us from our sins. Acts 3, we see a miracle, a physical miracle. But more important than that, what I really want you to grasp out of this is not just a physical miracle. The whole revelation of tonight, I really want you to grasp is this. Are you willing to serve when the Holy Spirit speaks? How many lives can we touch by just doing what God tells us in the moment and not put it off? It may be, when I went to see Jazz, I want to share this. This is really sweet. I went to see Jazz, and I wasn't planning on going to see Jazz till tomorrow. And maybe y'all don't know who Jazz is, but she comes here with Von Seal when she comes, and she's had some health issues. I was going to go see her tomorrow. I had a plan to go see her tomorrow, but I was over here at lunch, and just, I don't know, I want to go see her this afternoon. When I walked in her room, she's like, I cannot believe you're here. Said, I prayed you would come today. Said, there was a bird that landed outside my window, and I looked at that little bird, and I says, are you a messenger from God? I think you are a messenger. Well, if you're, and she said, she's talked to the bird, she said. I told that bird through the window, if you're a messenger for God, will you please tell Pastor James I need to see him today? It gives me chills. And I had her on my schedule. I even wrote on my planner, visit Jazz for tomorrow. I had it in my planner. But I changed and went today. She had a rough morning. She was crying and just had some things going on. And said, I so needed to see you and you pray with me. See, it's amazing how just that, and there wasn't a big thing where a lightning bolt struck my office window. It wasn't like a haunted horror movie where Jazz written upside down in my window in fog. Go see Jazz. Woo! It wasn't any of that. It's just that God put that thought in me. And I don't usually do visitations on Wednesday because I'm usually over here most of the day preparing, so I don't usually do a lot of visitation on Wednesday. But today I just felt impressed to go do that. And it's because the Jazz prayed and God heard that. It's important that when there's opportunities, we are sensitive to listen to that and we mash the gas whenever God tells us to. There's a reason for that. That's what I want the point to be tonight. Opportunities like Peter and John. Will we pass by the crippled and say, well, I'll be praying for you, maybe tomorrow, or are we stopping in the moment of a need and addressing it right then and right there and right now? That's the revelation in that. Let's pray in closing tonight. Father, I pray that you use each of us in the way you wish for us to be used, that God, you give us a new boldness, because, Lord, as Christians, we are empowered with something more than ourselves. Lord, we are empowered with your Holy Spirit. The resurrection power lives inside of us. We are not alone, God. We are not weak in the flesh. We are empowered by your Spirit to carry out the work of you in the earth. And God, I pray for all of us here tonight that you will give us a newfound desire and a joy to want to serve in whatever way we can. We don't have to be reckless with it or chaotic with it. We don't have to embarrass someone with it, God. We can just listen to your voice because, Lord, you don't embarrass people. When it's you, it's always right. It's always the right thing in the right time in the right place. Give us those opportunities, put them before us, and then give us the boldness and the courage and the wisdom to act on those opportunities to serve you, God, where lives like this lame man was changed forever. There are lives out there now that are waiting to be changed forever. Use us, God, in the name of Jesus to be part of that change. We ask that in your precious name. Amen. 20 years. He's assistant manager at Troutman Food Line and built on two for years. And his wife, Jody's had health problems. He's only like in her late 40s. And she's had a lot of health issues, but I know you maybe don't know her, but let's pray for her right now. Father, we call Jody's name out right now before you. Just as Peter declared your name over that lame man's life, God, we declare your name over Jody's life, that in your name, Jesus, I speak that she rise and walk, Lord, that, God, she recovers whatever is attacking her body. You are more powerful and your strength is greater. And we call Jody's name out before you, Lord, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that, God, you raise her and heal her flesh in the name of Jesus. And give Dennis the peace and the strength as he's with her. Give him comfort right now and settle his nerves and let his trust be in you, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.